Hello, kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday we release these special episodes where we look back at content from our earlier years, sometimes single stories, sometimes whole episodes. Keep in mind that years ago, people might have worded things differently than they would today. As always, the title of the whole series, Risk, is itself a content warning. This week, a story that Marga Gomez first shared on the podcast in July of 2016. Here's Marga now with a story we call Bronze Star.
Thank you so much. How are you? Good? Really good? I am a lesbian. And as a lesbian, I've blown off a lot of guys. 4 years ago, I actually blew a guy. And what I want you to know, first of all, is that is not normal. That is not typical lesbian behavior. I don't care what you've seen in movies. And more than that is, I'm not just any lesbian. I'm a lesbian leader. I'm an accomplished lesbian lover with decades of experience pleasing a vast array of intelligent and beautiful women. Not to be cocky, but I just want you to know that because of my status and my life's experience, that blowing a guy was the farthest thing from my mind, my conscious mind. But I had blowjob dreams, right? We all do. Many times, and I could be in bed with the most beautiful woman, and I would be dreaming about blowing the guy in that Great America ad. I dream of that. You know that man who does that little dance? You want to blow him too, right? We all want to blow that man. And in every blowjob dream I have, because I'm a gold star, by the way, that means I've never... I was. Anyway, let me get back. In every dream where I would have this blowjob occur, I'd be thinking, oh, wow, so this is a blowjob. You know, like a bucket list kind of thing. But then in every dream, just before the orgasm, the blowjob would liquefy, it would vaporize, it would pulverize into powder. And I think that it's very common and that we all have those kind of liquefied penis dreams. It's in the zeitgeist. And in fact, remember that song, The Cake Was Put Out in the Rain? That's about a penis pulverized. So I don't let these dreams worry me. I take comfort in the fact that I'm such a lesbian. Kevin asked me to say my age, but you know, I think I'm already revealing enough tonight. So I'm a certain age, and I am a, you know, OG lesbian. I mean, I'm an authentic lesbian. I am well known for being a lesbian. I'm lesbian famous. I'm a celesbian is what I am. Okay. All my rent has been paid because I'm a lesbian. and I have gone on stages such as this, and I have shared some lesbian content. Not a lot, but just enough so everybody knows. I've gone on TV a little bit and been a lesbian. I've done all these things, and I have traveled all around the country and the world with my lesbian message. And there was a time, my friends, when I was so hot that I was getting lesbian groupies. I don't know if they were lesbians, but they would be. Okay, they were women, and they were offering themselves to me sexually. And I never did it with any of them because I always had a girlfriend at the time, because I'm an OG lesbian. We always have a girlfriend. We're serial monogamous. And I was a monogamous, so I was faithful to every girlfriend, and I'd have to tell the groupies, no, please come back when I'm single. But they were never around when I was single, because groupies just, they have a sense for when you're taken. You know what I'm talking about, people in relationships. And I was faithful to the end, to my last girlfriend, because there was apparently a last girlfriend. I'm going to get to the blowjob. Just let me talk about her. I'm going to get to it, okay? I understand why you're here, but let me talk about my last girlfriend who I love so much. I love my last girlfriend so much. I probably should tell you her name, but I want to respect her privacy. So I'm going to just give her an alias. Let's call her Hortense. Hortense. Hortensia. Let's make her ethnic. Hortensia. Loved her so much. Loved her so much. And I didn't want to love her so much because inside, I knew it wasn't going to work out because there was a large age difference. There was a 20-year age difference. That's not even all the years of the age difference, but there were 20 for sure. And I heard all the little, you know, digs that people tell couples, you know, May-December relationships. I've heard them all, especially the one that my friends were very fond of, telling me, Marga, you're robbing the cradle. Fuck that. Why do people always have to bother the older person in the couple? Don't you see we're already dealing with a lot of pain? Don't you see? The older person is not the person to fuck with. Don't you see? We've got enough problems, the older people. We're gonna die soon. Leave the older person alone in this couple. Pick on the young one. Tell her, hey, you're robbing the grave, bitch. I tell her that. And so I held back. You know, I just kept my wall up. I mean, I loved Hortensia more than I loved anyone in my life. And we were together for almost 7 years. And I resisted even going on a date with her because, you know, I thought this can only go one way. But she really convinced me that it would work out. She convinced me that her love was forever. Because, you know, young people, they really believe in things. And so she made me believe, and I believed, and I believed it. Even like that last year, we weren't having sex. We weren't having sex, but I believed she loved me. And then, of course, she said she had to go to grad school. Young people always have to go to grad school. Away, away, away in Philadelphia. But she would always love me, and she made me believe that she'd always be there for me, always. I'm gonna get to the blowjob, hang on. And then she was gone to grad school, settling in her new place in Philadelphia. You know, we would write to each other, and I could tell that I cared more about her than she cared about me, and she was drifting away. But I just kept writing, just kept texting, just kept believing her. And then I got a gig in Boston. I got a gig in Boston in January of that year, and we'd only been separated for a couple of months, and I thought, this is great. And I emailed Hortensia, and I said, oh my gosh, I got a gig in Boston. I'll go to Philly before I go to Boston. We'll get together. You want that? Should I? She said, yes. And so before this gig in Boston, I stopped in Philadelphia, saw her new place, met her friends. I didn't care about them. And then we fucked and we fucked and we had the best sex we had had in years. And considering 1 year we didn't have sex at all, in 2 years, the best sex. It was, we had such good sex. I came and I kept coming. I left her in Philadelphia and I was still coming. I was coming. I went to my gig in Boston. I was on stage doing my show. I was still coming. I was so good and the audience could feel like I was coming and they were coming with me and it was the best show I had ever done. It was sold out for some reason. I got a standing ovation, and after the show, I was like, wow, that was great. And the manager of the club runs over to me, and he was a straight guy, and straight guys usually aren't into what I do, but he came over, and he was like, you kind of, it talks like animal, and he was saying, that everybody loved me and he wanted me back at the club and he handed me a little glass of Maker's Mark, which he already knew was my drink, and he pulled out the calendar and it was already January, and the next date he had was in June. It was June 16th. It was my birthday. It was also Father's Day, and I thought, oh, I'll take that one. Yeah, I'll do that one. It was a Sunday. It was Father's Day. Not a good idea. And but I thought, hey, it's my birthday, and then before that gig, I'll stop in Philly because it'll be my birthday, so surely Hortensia will fuck me. You know, birthday fuck. I mean, it's still, you know, you still keep working it when a relationship's over. And then I wrote to her and I said, hey, it went great in Boston, and they gave me another gig in June, so I get to see you then. You're gonna be around in June. And she didn't write back, and I called her and she didn't call back, she didn't text back. And she stopped loving me, and it was quiet, and I started to die, and I started to be in acceptance of the fact that there was gonna be no more fucking. And that maybe was the last love of my life, the last great love, and I started to get very depressed, and you know, and then my friends didn't want to hear it anymore, and I wasn't gonna spend money on therapy, so I just drank and ate and smoked, and yeah, I just started getting like more like fuzzy and blurry, and months went by. And then it was June, it was time to do my gig in Boston. I was so fucking depressed, didn't feel funny at all. Got to Boston and I just had a bad show. It was a bad show. It was my birthday, and everything about that day was bad. It was my birthday, and I thought, well, surely Hortensia is gonna call me. She's gonna call me, she's gonna remember it's my birthday. I gave her, like, I bought her a coat on her birthday. I bought her a coat! And she was in Philadelphia, it was cold. It was like she really liked it, the coat. Uniqlo! I'm gonna get to the blowjob, just relax, everybody. So I got this text, finally. You know, it's like a few hours before the show, and it's a text, the birthday text. Okay, an email would have been good, a call would have been better, but a text, I'll take anything. And I hadn't heard from her, right? Since January, she said, happy birthday. Hope you're doing something fun. Period. Period, period. No exclamation point, no heart, no nothing. That was it. Hope you're doing something fun. And then I had the show. And it wasn't fun, and I couldn't even hear the laugh. So all I could hear was, hope you're having fun. Turnout was terrible. Don't ever do a show on Father's Day in Boston, seat of patriarchy. Don't. Show was over. It was a struggle for me and the audience, but finally it was over. They left. And I went backstage to like hide and to just shake it off and to understand what did I just do with the last almost 7 years of my life. And then the manager of the club shows up. Let me talk about the blowjob now. He shows up and he's got a glass of Maker's Mark in his hand. He remembers. And the manager, and you know what, let me, he's such a good man, good man. And so he needs a name in this story, and he needs privacy. So let me call him Apollo. Because he has gone where no man has ever gone before. And Apollo said to me, it's like, you're so right. Yes. Oh, I don't know if I want to come back, Apollo. Okay, I'll have another drink. And then I just realized I'm going to hang out with him tonight. Because it's not like there were any groupies waiting for me because I was single. So I went with him to this place he knew just around the corner where all the industry locals go, all the bartenders and waiters. They all go to this club to hang out. It was a rooftop. It was super nice. There was a DJ and everybody knew him. They were like, hi, Apollo. And we're sitting and we're drinking and he's just, you know, he's got me. He's got me in his, crosshairs. I looked at him and I hadn't really even noticed him this whole time. The first show and all through this second return. And his eyes were very dark and deep set. And he was my height, and he was a little out of shape. He looked just like me. He was wearing a polo shirt and just complimenting me. And he said that he wanted to take me all around town. Would I please come back? I didn't have to do the show. He would just take care of me. He'd put me up in a hotel room, and he would take me to all the other great clubs in Boston where he knew everybody. And I realized that he was courting me. He was courting me. He was flattering me and being genuinely nice. And I excused myself when I went to the bathroom because I was really tired of talking to him. But still, I was favorable to him. I took out my phone to see if Hortensia, no, nothing, have fun, do something fun. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna do something fun. And I just straightened my bangs, and I went back out to the bar, and I said, Apollo, let's do something fun. And so we left the bar, got in his car. He has a great car. Because he said that all the women in Boston are shallow and superficial. He wants a girlfriend. And so he has nobody to spend his money on except for his beautiful, beautiful car. And we drove out. And I just was, you know, I wanted to blow him. And I wanted to go blow him by a park. Because that's how I, you know, kind of almost did it when I was in high school, by a park. But he drove to a deserted construction site. Just, wow, it's not really what I had in mind. But okay, you know, and then he was like looking around because apparently it's illegal for straight people to have sex in a car as well. So we started making out and I didn't like that. It didn't. You know, he's a very hairy guy, and then he, you know, it's like they can't shave enough. Like, you know, can you shave right now? And I have very sensitive skin, and you know, I think that's maybe why I'm a lesbian. A very sensitive skin. I mean, I've had stubble before, like when I've, you know, been with women who are between waxing, and that kind of hurts as well. But you know, you go for it. And then I thought, hey, you know, just let me just. And so then, everybody knows what that means. And he pulled out his dick, and I, you know, started to attempt a blowjob, and not good at it. It turns out I'm terrible at it. And, you know, I'm so good at cunnilingus, but none of those skills transfer to a blowjob. So I knew no teeth, but that's about all. There were other things. I'm supposed to rub that, tap that, press that. I don't know what the hell. What the hell? Men are really a lot of work. And so, you know, I'm blowing them, and then I thought, like, in the dream, right about now, you know, the dick would evaporate. But it's still there, and it's like, is it getting bigger? Is this hard? Is this what it's supposed to be? And then I hear him moan. That's nice. That's nice when somebody moans for you. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah, when you hear that, it's like, that's all you really want. You're like, and I thought, somebody likes me. 20 minutes later. Nothing. So then he starts jerking off, you know, because, you know, he's got to go to work in the morning. So he starts jerking off. I'm going, oh, good. I'm, you know, this is not done. He'll come. You know, I didn't understand why it took him so long to come, because it's like, I'm Marga Gomez. I mean, I just thought, just the thought of it. I mean, whatever happened to premature ejaculation? I don't know why people are against that. I say, come. The minute you think of it, and if you can, come now. Come now. Come, everybody. Okay, gotta wrap this up. I can't really tell you the whole story because he took too long. But he's finally getting there, he's finally coming, and then he says to me,
show me your pussy.
And I, like, the tone was not right. I didn't like the tone, you know. It's like, I'm still a feminist, so where's the please, miss? But it's like, whatever, whatever. I just want this guy to come. So it's like, it's not even like I really do this, but it's like, okay. Woo! And so I guess this worked for him. Because he goes, he says to me,
how do you want it?
Huh? And so he was saying, where do I want it? It's like, what? What do I want what? And I realized, oh, no, because I've seen cable. I understand. There's a... So he wants to shoot it. And it's like, I mean, I thought it was going to go in my mouth. Obviously, that would be rude, and I'm a lady. So it's like, oh, yeah, where do I want it? Where do I want it? It's about to come. And so, I mean, my honest answer would have been outside. Could you... I'll be here. Go. I've seen enough softcore porn to say, on my tits. Be nice. He bought me all those drinks. So he shot on my tits, and it really wasn't what I expected. I thought it was gonna be like a gusher, you know, but it was like trickle, trickle, trickle. And it's like, was that even cum? What was that? You know, but it was like, oh, wow, that was great. Okay, you know. But then he says, I want to go inside you. And it's like, oh, my God, no, this is enough. Why wouldn't a guy just want a blowjob? I would think that'd be relaxing, like a recumbent bike. Why would you want to be going humping and stuff? And I said, oh, yeah, that would be great, but, you know, I can't. They don't allow that in my Airbnb, you know? I just didn't want him to come back to my Airbnb and eat my snacks. And then, you know, he drove me back to my place, and he was just so nice. Really, Apollo, if you're listening to this, thank you, and I'm sorry. But he, you know, he wanted me to come back, and he kind of wanted me to be his girlfriend. And he kind of really, I think he really loved me. I mean, it was just so weird. I mean, he'd seen two entire shows of all my mess on stage, and he just felt like we were kindred spirits, probably because we were wearing the same polo shirt. And I said, yes, of course. Oh, I can't wait to see you. And then he would send me little texts. I'm thinking of you. And it went on for months, and I just stopped writing back to him. I stopped writing back to him. I'd done my blowjob. I was ready to move on. I felt strange when I bought produce. You know. And then I did another blowjob just because I wasn't sure. Maybe I just, you know, maybe he just had a weird dick, you know? So I tried to know. He was my friend. He was my good buddy. And was actually trying to get it on with this girl. It was the threesome. And his penis was really great. I mean, I looked at it this time. It was beautiful and even like a dildo. But still, it was really nothing for me, and I was completely researching the whole time. I was out of my body, and I learned, you know, I just learned how the other side lives. And I realized that, you know what, all this stuff I heard about how blowjobs are so great, I never heard that from a woman. I only heard that from gay men. The reason I'm telling this story, and I've never really told this story before, is because why not? I'm still a lesbian. And it's really okay to be a full-on 100% homosexual and never see or touch or deal with the junk of the opposite sex. But if you happen to be in a stage of your life where nothing else is happening, and someone comes along, someone nice, who flatters you, talks to you real nice like that, and carries your bag, and they can hold you for a night and make you feel like everything's gonna work out, then go for it. Go for it. And if any of you straight women in the audience would like to try, pussy, just go to my website. You know, we're all saying love each other now because of, you know, the horror that we're all in and the insecurity that we all have and we're all facing. And we should love each other. But let's not stop there. Let's also fuck each other. Thank you very much. Good night.
That's all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length episodes. There's a brand new one every Tuesday. And everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.